You guys ready to get into the Word of God? And let me open up in prayer. And we'll begin. So, Father, we love you. We just thank you for the opportunity to come into your house today and to get into your Word. God, I pray that you open up our eyes to see, Lord. Give us ears to hear. We need to hear a Word that works. And God, your Word works. We just need you to take them scales off our eyes and that extra callousness off our hearts, Lord, and open our ears that we can hear what the Spirit is saying to us. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. Amen. Luke chapter 1, if you're new here, welcome to Ark Bible Church. In fact, everybody, why don't you just welcome anybody new? Just give God praise for new people. Give him praise for new people. Thank you, Jesus. And if you're our guest, we just pray that you're our guest. Okay, so Luke chapter 1, we're actually going to be starting down in verse 39, but I just want to set the context for you guys. So last week, we were introduced into this girl named Mary, and we're going to see so much of her as we go. But what Luke told us about Mary is that this was a godly girl living in an ungodly place. Do you remember where she was from? Nazareth. And this place was so bad, it's never even mentioned in the Bible, in the Old Testament, any other time than you see it in Luke chapter 1. That's the first time that we see Nazareth in the New Testament. I mean, in the New Testament it's mentioned, but we never see it anywhere else in the Old Testament. It was a messed up, dirty place. Do you guys remember when it was Nathanael and Philip, and they're like, we found the Messiah. Where'd he come from? Nazareth. And they're like, nobody comes out of Nazareth that's worth anything. Like we were talking about, it was kind of like Siletz or Toledo, amen? It's just this place that nobody ever wanted to go. She was living in an ungodly place, but yet she was godly. And I wanted to make a point about that real quick. You know, as Christians, check this out. You're going to want to write this down. You can live a godly life in an ungodly place. Did you know that? You can live in a godly life in an ungodly place. And you know, there's a lot of people in our life, especially during the holidays, maybe people we work with that don't always bring out the best in us but have a tendency to bring out the worst. I mean, it's not like you can tell your boss or customers, I'm not coming in today. Try it. You know, it's not like you can pick your family. You can't trade your family. Some of us have got exes we got to deal with. Oh, my exes live in Texas. You remember that song? That's some old honky-tonk. You guys don't know nothing about it. But here's the deal. We do got people in our lives that don't always bring out the best in us. They bring out the worst in us. But we can still live godly in an ungodly place. And now look, the way that you do it is you can either A, go home, shut the door and lock it and live in there with your cats and never come out. Or you can do what Jesus did. And you know what Jesus did? Before he got around people, he prayed. And I want to encourage you, if you're in a place where it's ungodly, you're trying to do the right thing, you're trying to make better decisions in your life, check this out. Before you get around people, you need to pray. Get alone with God. Tell him what's going on in your life. Ask him for strength. Ask him for wisdom about how to deal with some people, because some people, you need help dealing with them, amen? And so Mary is a godly woman, and she's living in an ungodly place. And what we're going to see is that this girl has all her life made room for God. And I think that's an important principle. You know, if we're going to grow in the Lord, we got to make room for the Lord. I was yesterday, Samantha was cleaning out her car. And when she was cleaning it out, I was flabbergasted. I was surprised. I was, give me some more words. I was shocked, I guess you could say. Because this girl ain't never cleaned that car out a day in her life. Ever. I mean, you see the dump, that's what the inside of her car looks like, okay? And so when she started taking stuff to the trash, I was asking this girl what she was doing. She goes, oh, I just got to make some room because I'm picking my friend up and we're going to Eugene. And I said, really? You're cleaning it out? You're making room for your friend? She goes, yeah, but you know what? I had spilt some chili back there a couple months ago. And I was like, good Lord, girl, this is insane. And so as she's taking all this stuff, I was kind of meditating on the word, and I was thinking about how you know, sometimes we got to do the same thing. We got to take out some garbage in our life and make room for Jesus if we're going to have a relationship with Jesus. Amen. In the same way, we got some stinky stuff that we've been getting in our, we got to get it out. And this girl, her whole life before Christ, this is going to be such a cool message. Her whole life has been set up around making room for the Lord. So listen, if we want to have a relationship with Jesus, we got to make room for him. And it is hard right now, isn't it? You guys are shopping, you're freaking out on bills, you're wondering how you're going to pay for stuff that you're going to end up taking to the dump in April anyway, right? And so we've got all these schedules and events and things going on in our life that we're trying to plan, and family get-togethers and reunions, all of this. And this is a very important time of the year where we can lose focus of the very one we're trying to celebrate. So listen, we want to make room for the Lord, and that's what Mary did. And so now, we closed out last week in where Mary, when she was asking how all this this miracle could possibly happen to her as a virgin, do you remember when Gabriel said, listen, you're going to conceive and have a baby? And this girl was like, how is this going to go down? Good question, right? Because if you're dating someone and they're a virgin, and then all of a sudden, you know, they come up and they're like a couple months pregnant, you're going to have a problem. You're just, yeah, but it's okay. It's miraculous. It's, this happens. You know, you're going to be like, what? That was her question. Como what? How's this going to go down? How's this going to happen? I'm a virgin. I don't know a man. How's the miraculous going to happen to me? But what she does is she gives it to the Lord, and Gabriel says to her, I love this, what Gabriel said to her. When she was asking him how, Gabriel said to her, with God, nothing shall be impossible. And you know what? That's the answer for all of us, for everything. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're dealing with, for with God, nothing is impossible. If you're starting your life over again, the answer is Jesus. If you're trying to keep from losing your mind during this time, guess who the answer is? Jesus, right? If you're trying to learn how to forgive and trust and believe all over again, and you're wanting that miraculous work of God in you, guess how it's going to happen? That's right, Jesus. Jesus. And so that's what he said. That's the answer to all of our problems too. For whatever we're going through, whatever's happening in our life, church, I want to tell you that Jesus is the answer. You know, here's a little trick. If you guys ever go to church and the pastor asks you a question and you don't know the answer, you know what you just say? Jesus, that's it, because he's always the answer. So Jesus, and so Mary, he tells Mary, listen, with God, nothing will be impossible. And then in verse 38, check this out. She said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be done to me according to your word. Man, Mary didn't understand what was going to happen, but she obeyed God anyways. She didn't have things figured out, but she worked them out as she went. Think about it for a second. He says, you're going to be pregnant. And you know what she said? Here's your handmaiden. Doeth with me as you will. May it be according to your word. In other words, I submit. Whatever you want to do, I'm cool with you doing it. Even if I don't know how you're going to do it, I'm okay, as long as I know that you're involved in the process. How am I going to tell Joseph? What's my parents going to think? What are my neighbors going to say? What are the kids at school going to do? She didn't have it all planned out. She didn't have it all worked out. But you know what she did have? Check this out. She had submission. She had submission. You guys want to know what the answer is to God working it out? It's submission. Because acts of submission to God brings out extraordinary acts of God. Yeah, you guys want to see God move in your life, then submit to Jesus and just get on his plan and say, God, I don't know how it's all going to work out. Have you ever been in a season where you just don't know how it's going to work out and you're just kind of figuring it out as you go? You want to succeed? You want God to bless you? This is how it happens. It's never going to happen any other way than submitting to God if you want God to bless you. And I love that about Mary. She lays it down. Now, that's a hard thing to lay down. Whatever you want to do, I'm down with you doing it. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I know if you're involved in it, you're going to work it out. So in verse 39, are you guys there? Let's start in verse 39. It says, "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened that when Elizabeth had heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." So Mary, this girl, she goes on a road trip, and it said with haste. Did you see it? So I don't know how you guys, the ladies, when you got somewhere you got to go and you're in a hurry, I don't know what it looks like with your purse. Probably throwing lipstick, brush, mascara, foundation, I don't know, MAC product. Am I hitting anybody yet? And you just throw it all in the purse and you just gone. You're just out of there, fixing it on the way to wherever you're going, looking in the rearview mirror, putting your makeup on, steering with your knee and all of that. She's gone. This girl jams with haste, and it says she goes to Judah. She goes to see Elizabeth in Judah, which is about 80 to 100 miles south. And it says that she goes to see the only other person in her life that would ever believe what's going on in her life. Her cousin, Elizabeth. Now, why would Elizabeth believe Mary? "I'm pregnant, I'm a virgin. I'm pregnant, I'm a virgin." Why would she believe that? Because something happened to her. Something happened to Elizabeth, didn't it? This girl's 70, 80 years old, and guess what happened? Hello, you're going to have a baby at 70 or 80. I couldn't imagine doing that in your guys' 30s, let alone 70 or 80. I don't know if that's anybody's wish to become a senior citizen and then be pregnant. But Mary goes to her because she's 6 months. Check this out. She's 6 months farther along than she is. Now, I wanted to tell you guys something. It's always good to get with people who are a little farther along than you are in your walk with God. You know, and I wanted to talk to the people who you're trying to click with, people that God don't want you clicking with. And can I tell you that you can't click with everybody? There was this girl, Linda. Is Linda here this morning? She had posted something on Facebook, and she said, "Dead batteries don't charge dead people. You better get with somebody that can recharge you." And I started reading this about Elizabeth, and I thought, what? This girl's 6 months along. She can encourage her, equip her, and say, hey, God's going to work in you. He's going to do a miraculous thing in you, and we need that. You need to be around people that you click with that are just a little bit farther along in the Lord than you are, amen? Somebody who will pray with you. Somebody that will hang out with you. Somebody will text you without you always having to text them first to see how they're doing. They're going to text you, see how you're doing. We all need people like that. People who will turn you to the Word of God and saying, hey, you know what? Just go get drunk. It'll be better tomorrow. We don't want no friends like that. In fact, you don't need no friends like that. And that's a word for somebody who's trying to hang out with friends like that. Listen, you can't always hang out with everybody. And this is so serious, church, because I know what it feels like to want to make connections with people, and there's certain people in your life that you want to connect with, but you just can't connect with. Am I talking to anybody? And you're just like, man, I want to. But God says it ain't going to happen. You better go get with somebody who you can click with that's a little farther along in the Lord than you are. And just remember, just because you've got people in your life that are your kin doesn't mean they're your kind. So she picks up, throws all that stuff in her purse, hops on a donkey, bails down south to go and see her relative. Because like Proverbs 27:7 says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And that's just a word for somebody here today and you're wondering what's wrong with you because they don't want nothing to do with you. God don't want you with them. You worry about who God wants you with and go after that. And so Elizabeth encourages Mary, rejoices with her. And in verse 41, it says that when she got there, and it happened when Elizabeth had heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. The first person to recognize Jesus was an unborn baby. How cool is that? John the Baptist. I remember when Vicky would get pregnant and she'd want to freak me out. She'd lift her shirt up. And when the baby was kicking, she'd say, "Hey, put your hand right here and feel this." I'd be like, "No, I'm good. I don't want to. And you could see it. Fellas, you ever remember that? Did that bother anybody? And you're just like, "Man, I don't want to see that. That's freaking me out. You got something in there that wants out." Unless you're my son-in-law, Randall, and he's into that. When the baby's born, I kid you not, he strips off his shirt naked. And this gets weird with the nurses, right? I mean, he's not totally butt naked. His shirt's off. But he'll sit there and put the baby on his chest. Oh, it's so sweet. You guys are gross. It's weird. But it's like, he just, and it is cool. I just couldn't do it. But anyways, so she goes, and John the Baptist recognizes Jesus, and it was like that his whole life. It was the joy of Christ in his whole life, and he never saw Jesus. But he rejoiced in him. He experienced the Lord. And I wanted to tell you, you don't need to see Jesus to experience him. Did you know that? You just need to be in his presence. Like the Word of God says, there's perfect peace in God's, in his presence. And you know, nobody's seen Jesus because he's not here. And if the guy on the corner tells you his name is Jesus, that ain't him. But you can experience Jesus and never see him. I wonder if you're experiencing the Lord. You know, do you ever get kind of off spiritually? Where you feel like, "Man, something ain't right today." Anybody, let me see your hands. Something just don't feel right today. I'm not talking about today, but do you get in those moments where you're just like, "Man, I'm not sinning or nothing. It's not like I'm watching porn. But just something didn't feel right." I've got a friend that I talked to this week, and he came into the shop, and he said, "Man, Jason, I'm just feeling a little off." And this boy, he there's no sin in his life that you would notice. He helps everybody, does everything for everybody. He's that kind of guy. And I said, what's your morning devotion look like? And he goes, "Well, you know, I spend 10 minutes with the Lord, and then I'm off doing everything for this person and that person and this person and that person." I said, "That's your problem. You're not experiencing Jesus." I said, "You're going around, you're helping everybody else, but you're not doing it and experiencing them your own self." And I said, "And this is the way it is. It's like you got an oxygen mask on your face, and you're going around and trying to put that oxygen mask on everybody else's face, but you know, and trying to help everybody." And I said, "You know what's going to happen to you if you keep that thing off of your face? You're going to end up dead." And there's people in here today in the same way. You guys are trying to do things for so many other people. You're running around during this time of the year, and that's great. God bless you. But I'm going to tell you something. You need to experience Jesus, and you better keep that air mask on your own face first if you're going to go around helping other people second. Can I get an amen? Amen. Because if not, you're going to end up dead. What's your devotions looking like? How are you doing in the morning? Are you getting up with the Lord? Are you setting that time aside? Are you pressing into God? What's it look like? You reading a 10-minute devotional from Narcotics Anonymous and thinking you're going to get your fill in 10 minutes? You're crazy. You got the mask off too long. You better get that mask on your face if you're going to go out in this place and be Jesus to people. But here's the good news about it. We don't need to see Jesus to experience Jesus. We can just come into his presence, and he wants us to do that, so he come in our presence. Amen. And so now check out verse 42. This is so cool. Elizabeth gets stoked after the kicking of John the bee in her stomach, and she says, "Then the people spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you.'" Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women. And I don't know how that went. It was probably like Tourette's. "Blessed are," I mean, they're just sitting there. "Blessed are you amongst women." And she says to Mary, she says, "And blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed. Say that with me. Blessed who... Okay, because there's something there. For there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And so Elizabeth blesses Mary. And at first when I saw that, I thought, she said, blessed are you because those things are going to be fulfilled. That makes sense, right? If God fulfills something, then you're going to be blessed. But then I realized that's not what's going on. What's going on is she said, blessed are you who what? Believed. In other words, before anything was going on, she was already blessed before it happened. And I started thinking about it with us. You know, when we're blessed... Is when we believe when we are blessed. You remember that old saying, how's it go? I'll believe it when I... And that's how a lot of us in here are living. I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when God does it. I'll believe it when it happens. And hear what Mary does. You see what she said? Blessed are you because you believe. So you can have a blessing in just believing. You don't have to freak out. You don't have to worry. You don't have to treat people nasty because you're stressed out around you. Did you know, what if, check this out, if you had a word from God, just his word, which you do, and it was enough to bless you before there was anything happening with you? How would life be so much different if you just read the word of God and you said, there's a word for me, I'm going to accept it, I'm going to step out on that, I'm going to believe it, I'm going to trust it, I'm going to hope in it, I can't see it right now, it doesn't make sense to me, everything looks like it's against me, but what I will do is I will be blessed before it happens in just simply believing. Man, that's what we need. Because check it out, if you only believed when you received, how superficial is your relationship going to be? God treating you like a baby in diapers. Here, baby, you need a little more. You do, and you cry. I ain't getting enough. I ain't getting enough. Here, you need a little more. God doesn't work like that. He wants us to grow up. And when we can't see him working, we still got his word. And there's a blessing in believing. I want to be that kind of person that, listen, even though I can't see it happening, even when I don't know how it's going to go down, I don't want to be the kind of guy that has to see to believe all the time to be blessed. In fact, that's spiritual maturity. So check this out. So now she says that you're blessed because you're believing. And in verse 46, we see some pictures here. We're getting ready to wind this down. Oh, this is going to be so good. So check out verse 46. I'm going to show you guys something about Mary. We're getting ready to close this out, but just hang in there with me. I want to show you something cool about this girl. In verse 46, it says, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. She didn't say my emotions. Just a little side note. You can ponder on that on your way home. She says, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done a great thing for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm, and he scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Do you know why you got people in your life who are proud? Because they're in a fantasy world. They're living in the imagination of their hearts. You guys know anybody like that? They're just prideful as the day get out. You know what? They're in a fantasy, they're in fantasy land. And he says that he scattered them in the imagination of their hearts, and he's put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly, and he's filled the hungry with good things. And the rich he has sent away empty, and he's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Now I'm going to show you guys something really cool about this. This is what's called the Magnificat. And this, it comes from the Latin word magnify. So you guys remember back in the day you had Thundercats, Battle Cat. This is Magnificat. Whole nother level. And she is glorifying God with her soul. She's praising God. But here's the thing about it. What she's doing and what's so cool about this, this girl, she is about 16 years old, 14, 16 years old. Now, I don't know what your image of Mary is when you hear of Mary when you're reading about her. But like, let's just set the table for who this girl is, because I want you to see her and how she is, not how you think she is. This girl's 14, 16 years old. And it says she made haste and went down to see Elizabeth. That's 80 to 100 miles south. This is a 14-year-old girl that got up and went with nobody with her. You got sex traffickers, robbers, gangbangers, every other thing that you can think of. And this little girl gets up with the faith of God and says, I'm on my way somewhere and I know he's going to get me there. That's a tough kid. But it even gets even better. Because as she's singing this song, what she's doing is she's quoting scripture from the Old Testament. And what she's doing is like what me and Samantha do when we're on our way to Walmart and we're listening to the Christmas station on Sirius FM. You know what we do? A Christmas song will come on and we know like parts of it. And then we got to be like making everything else up. Like, you know, Rudolph the Red Nose, something, something, something. Nobody liked him and now he's got friends on Facebook and the reindeer. You know how you guys do when you're hearing Christmas songs? You guys ever do that? You're into it. You look at me like, you don't know what I'm talking about. You start singing a song and you know like half of it and you just kind of start making up junk as you go, piecing it together. So what she's doing is she knows the word of God so good. She doesn't even need PowerPoint. She's piecing a song together from 1 Samuel, from Hannah's prayer when Hannah was pregnant as it was prophesied and told of her, and she was given that birth Samuel. And when Samuel came out, Hannah was praising God and magnifying God for how great he was. And then she was taking other parts of the Old Testament. So this girl, she is so tough in faith, 14, 16 years old, bounces down on a donkey 80 miles south and knows the word of God better than Zechariah, who was a 70-year-old, 80-year-old priest working in the temple. This is no ordinary girl. She's an exceptional girl with a great calling on her life. And I tell you guys that to make this point, and we're going to close this up. When I read that about her, I started thinking about her character before her calling. And I started thinking about how this girl was living her life before God ever showed up in her life. And he blessed her with an amazing calling and plan on her life. And you know what? What the Lord showed me is that we need to be dealing with our character before we come into our calling. We need to have a life in such a way with God before God's moving, before God's doing anything, before God makes it happen, that we establish character in God before we step in our calling for God. You know, and there's some people that maybe you've got a calling to do a small group or a Bible study, and you want to be up front, or maybe you want to do this, or you don't want to do that. Check this out. You better work on your calling, your character first before your calling. Some of you guys, God's got a calling on your life to run a company, to start a business, to do something like that. And you're wondering why things aren't clicking or why things aren't happening. Here's why. Because you've got to work on your character before you come into your calling. Other people, God's got a relationship for you that'll honor the Lord. And you're wondering why it's not happening. Because he's trying to work some stuff out in you before you get with somebody else and bring all that garbage with you. Can I just tell you that before you come into calling, we've got to work on character. And so Mary was an amazing girl like that. And then let's close out with this. I want to show you this as we close out. She says, I magnify the soul, the Lord, her Savior, meaning she was a sinner. We talked about that last week. As amazing as Mary was, this girl knew she needed a sinner. She needed a Savior. And we all need a Savior. The Bible tells us that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God in Jesus Christ is eternal life. And that for God so loved us that he demonstrated it by while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. And if we would confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'd be saved. And she proclaims that. I need a Savior. And so now, as we close out in verse 56, worship team, come on up. And it says, and Mary remained with her about 3 months. So when Mary got to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, this is putting Elizabeth at about 9 months. And so Mary is there during that time. We can assume that she's there with Elizabeth while she gives birth to John. So now, verse 57, Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And when her neighbors and her relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. I can preach another message, but I'm not going to do it. But I wanted to tell you something about that, just really quick. It says when her neighbors and her friends and her families and all of this stuff, they saw her, what God was doing, they rejoiced with her. Well, where were they last year? Right? I'll tell you where they were. They were talking garbage. They were trash talking her behind her back. They were saying she is barren. You remember when she said, God has taken this reproach away from me? Because people were trashing this girl. Oh, but now they come along and they're rejoicing with her. And as I read that, I was asking the question of myself. The question is not if God will bless me in front of my enemies, but will I allow them back in when he does? Forgive me. Pray for me. So she said, man, they're all over sending her friend requests, right? Wouldn't like nothing before on Facebook, but now all of a sudden they're sharing the post. And it says in verse 59, so it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. But his mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. But they said to her, there's no one among your relatives who's called by this name. So they made signs to his father what he should have him called. And Zacharias says, bring me a tablet. And he wrote saying, his name is John. Little side note. For you who have children, don't let anybody else label them kids but you. Don't let anybody tell you who your children are before they get to church. Don't let anybody tell you who your children are before you get them to school. You know who you tell? You tell them. You tell them who they are in Christ. Everybody else try to tell Zachariah and Elizabeth, name them this, name them this. They're like, you know what, shut up. I'm going to name my kid what God said he is. And that's the same thing that we need to do. Am I lying? It's right there. So then, he asked for a writing table. He said, tablet, say his name is John, verse 64. Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he spoke praising God, which was pretty cool because, by the way, he was bitter towards God. Because sometimes when we go through a season of discipline, we can get bitter about it instead of better. And you know what he does? As soon as he can open up his mouth, guess what he does? He praises God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them. And all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard him kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Would you guys stand with me this morning as we close this out. And the hand of the Lord was with him. It's a pretty amazing story. And I want to tell you guys, each week it's only going to get better. I know we went long. We went long. But I had to get that off of my chest. But the thing about it that he said was, at the end of it, after all that happened to Zacharias in his life, all the consequences, all the unbelief, and everything that's happening to Mary, and everything that's happening to Elizabeth, and all of this stuff, and at the end of it, when Zacharias, when he said his name's going to be John, and he praised God, and it said, and the Lord's hand was with him. And the Lord was telling me about that. Now, I just feel it in my heart. I'm not saying I hear the Lord audibly, but I try to listen. I try to listen. I try to create an atmosphere where I can hear God speak. And this is what the Lord was telling me, for me and for you, that if you belong to the Lord, his hand is always going to be on you. And you may be here today like Zacharias, and you've gone through a series and a season of consequences in your life for some things that have happened. God wants you to know that if you belong to him, his hand is on you. And for others of us here, we're kind of like Mary. And we're in that season where we're struggling, where we just get a word from God, and it's hard to be blessed and just believe. But you know what? God wants us to be like Mary. And his word for you is, if you belong to him, his hand is on you. He's going to make a way. And so this morning, I want to ask you, do you belong to him? Are you his kid? Have you surrendered to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And so this morning, this is what I want to do. I want you guys to bow your head. We're going to close out in communion. And I want to pray for the one in here today who is in that season where they do not feel the hand of God on their life. They do not feel God is with them. And you need peace. But what you really need is a Savior. And that's where your peace is going to come from. So bow, if you're a Christian, if you love Jesus, bow your head. And I want you to pray for your neighbor, because we don't know where everybody's at this morning. And Father, we come into your presence in Jesus' name. And we ask that you forgive us of our transgressions. Cleanse us of our sins, God. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your sacrifice, and we submit our way to you, God. And like Mary, we may not know how the next week's going to work out, the next month, the next year, the next 5 years, but God, we can say, behold, your servants, may it be according to us as your word. And as we step out, you step in and work it all out, God, according to your plan and your will for us in our lives. Lord, we know that you cause all things to work for good for those who love you and are called according to your plans and purposes, Jesus. So we give our lives to you today. We receive your forgiveness from you today. And we rejoice in the fact that we have a Savior, that we are forgiven, and that we are made new by the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.